And the pasuk continues, Perek Hey, Vayehi Bayom HaShlishi, and it was on the third day of the fast. Vatilbash Esther Malchus, and Esther put on her Malchus, her big day Malchus, her royal clothing. Vata'amoid, and she stood, Bachatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis, in the inner courtyard of the king's palace, Noichach Beis HaMelech, opposite the king's palace. VeHaMelech Yoishev Al Kisei Malchusoi, and the king was sitting on his royal throne, Beveis HaMalchus, in the royal palace, Noichach Pesach HaBoyis, facing the entrance of the palace. Zokt Rashi Pasuk Aleph, and Esther wore Malchus. What does it mean she wore Malchus? Zokt Rashi Big Day Malchus. She put on the royal clothing. Malchus means Big Day Malchus. However, the Gemara does not like this pshat because the pasuk does not say Big Day Malchus. Therefore, V'Rabbeinu Amru, our Chachamim learn in Masechet Megillah that what does it mean Vatilbash Malchus? She'lofshasa Ruach HaKodesh. She put on and she was dressed with Ruach HaKodesh. K'moy da'at Omar, just like the pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, V'Ruach Lovsho Es Amosai. And the Spirit clothed Amosai. So just like over there, Lovsho, clothed, was with Ruach, the Spirit, so too Vatilbash Esther. Esther was clothed with Ruach HaKodesh. However, this Ruach HaKodesh did not want to remain with her. As the Gemara in Megillah explains, once she reached the Beis HaTzlomim, the Chamber of Idols, on her way to the palace of the king, the Shekhinah departed from her. And that's the pshat in the pasuk. Vatilbash Esther. Esther was clothed with Ruach HaKodesh. However, Vata'amoid, it stopped. The Shekhinah left her. Bachatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis, when she reached the inner courtyard where the idols were. And that is where Esther davened for the Shekhinah to return by saying, Keli, Keli, Loma Azavtoni. Hashem, Hashem, why have you forsaken me? As Medrash Shoch HaTov explains, Keli, my God who was with us by Kriyas Yamsuf, Keli, my God who was with us by Matan Torah, do not forsake me. And Yarush Devash explains, with Rashi and Parashas Yisroi, Perek Chof, Pasuk Beis, that at Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem appeared to Klal Yisrael kigibar milchama, like a mighty warrior, changing nature. And by Matan Torah he appeared like a zokein molei rachamim, like an old person full of mercy. Esther was pleading with Hashem that the Jewish people are faced with difficult times. We are faced with destruction. We need Hashem's help. May it be your will, Hashem, to save us by changing nature, like you did by Kriyas Yamsuf, or by being kizokein molei rachamim, like you were by Matan Torah. Keli, Keli, Loma Azavtoni. Pasuk Beis, Vayihi Kirois HaMelech Es Esther HaMalka, and it was when the king saw Queen Esther, Oimedes Bechotzer, standing in the courtyard. Noso Chein Be'enov, she found favor in his eyes. Vayoshet HaMelech LeEsther Es Sharvid Hazov Asher Biyodoi. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Vatikrav Esther, and Esther approached. Vatiga, and she touched Beroish HaSharvit, the tip of the scepter. And the Gemara explains that three malachim were prepared for Esther at that time. The first one raised her neck because her head was drooping from the exertion of fasting and davening. The second malach placed a chut shel chesed over her, a special charm that would make her favorable in the eyes of Achashverosh. And the third malach stretched the king's scepter toward her. Esther was so afraid that maybe Achashverosh would be angry at her for appearing without permission, that she could not summon the strength to walk toward the scepter. Therefore, the malach caused the scepter to stretch until it reached her. And the Gemara gives four opinions how far the scepter stretched. One Manda Omar says that it stretched until it was 12 amos long. Another Manda Omar says 24 amos. In a Braisa, it was taught that it stretched till 60 amos. And yet another Shita says that it stretched to 200 amos. And the pasuk continues, Vayomer lo HaMelech, and the king said to Esther, Maloch Esther HaMalka, what is with you, Esther the queen? Uma bakoshoseich, and what is your request? Ad chatzi HaMalchus v'yinosin loch, until half the kingdom shall be granted to you. According to the simple meaning, Achashverosh said, I am willing to give you up to half of my empire. The Gemara explains that Achashverosh said, Ad chatzi HaMalchus, until half of my Malchus, v'loy dovor shechoytzeis l'malchusoi, but I am not willing to give you that which stands in the middle of my kingdom, which is the Beis HaMikdash. I will not permit the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Zokt Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Ad chatzi HaMalchus, And Rashi is going in the first pshat with the Gemara. I am willing to give you half of my empire, but not davar shehu be'emsa uvachatzi ha-malchus, not the thing that is in the middle and that divides my malchus. Hu beis hamigdash, that is, I am not willing to allow you to rebuild the beis hamigdash. She'eschilu liv noisai b'mei Koresh, they began rebuilding it in the days of Koresh. V'chazerboi, and Koresh had a change of heart. V'tziva, and he commanded levatel hamalocha, to stop the work of rebuilding. V'achashverosh she'omad acharov, and Achashverosh, who was king after Koresh, gam hu bitel hamalocha, he also discontinued the work. And that is what Achashverosh said, at chatzi hamalchus, v'loy davar she'choytzeit l'malchus, not the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. U'pshuto shel mikra, however, the simple meaning of the pasuk is, that Achashverosh said, af im tish'ali mimeni, even if you request from me chatzi hamalchus, half of my empire, etein loch, I will give it to you. Pasuk Dalet. Vatomer Esther, and Esther said, im al hamelech toiv, if it pleases the king, yovoi hamelech v'homon hayoim, let the king and Haman come today, el hamishte, to the banquet, asher osisi loy, that I made for him, that I made for you, Achashverosh. Zok Rashi, yovoi hamelech v'homon, rabbeinu omru, our chachomim say in Masechta Megillah, tamim harbe b'davar, many reasons in this matter, marosa Esther, shezimna es Haman. What motivated Esther to invite Haman to this party? And one reason is, kidei lekanoi b'melech uvisarim, to cause the king and the nobles to be jealous of Haman. Shehamelech yachshoiv, because the king will think, shehu choshuk eleho, that Esther likes Haman, and that's why she invited him to the party. V'yahargenu, and then the king will have Haman executed. V'oid tamim rabim, and the Gemara gives many other reasons why Haman was invited to the party. Among these other reasons are, firstly, by inviting Haman, Esther was hoping to catch Haman by surprise, and this way, he would not have an opportunity to defend himself. Another reason was that Achashverosh was somebody who can go back on his word. Esther therefore had Haman present, so that if she is successful in convincing Achashverosh to kill Haman, he would be able to do so right away, before changing his mind. Also, another reason she invited Haman was to arouse the fears in the hearts of the Yidden, that Esther seemed to be catering to Haman. This way they would daven harder, rather than being complacent that they had a sister in the palace. Zokt Rashi el ha-mishte, and Rashi is bothered, why is a party called mishte from the root of shetia, drinking? Zokt Rashi kol se'uda nikras al shem ha-yayin. Every feast is called mishte because of the wine. Shehu ikr, because the wine is the main part of the feast. So mishte, a feast, comes from the lashon of shetia, to drink. And the Mefarshim point out that the first letters of the words Yavoi HaMelech VeHomon HaYoin make up Hashem's name Yudke Vavke. The Yud from Yavoi, the He from HaMelech, the Vav from VeHomon, and the He from HaYoin. As we explained earlier, that Hashem's name is not mentioned explicitly in the Megillah, only through Ramazim, only through hints. We explained that the reason is because in the Megillah, Hashem appears with Hester Ponim, hidden as if the whole nest happened through natural means and not through Hashem's hand. The Ibn Ezra, in his Akdama to Megillah's Esther, explains another reason why Hashem's name is not mentioned explicitly. And that is because the Megillah was written by Mordechai and sent to all the Jews of the king's provinces. It contained a piece of history which was of interest to all, and was therefore entered in the Sefer Divrei Hayomim Lemalchei Paras Umadai, the history books of the kings of Paras and Madai. Out of concern that it would be translated, and the writers would exchange Hashem's name with the name of one of their gods, Mordechai omitted Hashem's name entirely. And we must understand why over here, as we just mentioned, the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke, is mentioned in the beginning of the words, Yavoi HaMelech VeHomon HaYoim. However, if you look further in this perek in Pasuk Yud Gimel, on the words that Haman said, V'chol zeh einenu shoyveli, all this is worth nothing to me, the last letters of the word zeh einenu shoyveli are Yudke Vavke. However, over there, it is the last letters of the words, and also written out of order. Instead of Yudke Vavke, it is Hey Vav, Hey Yud. So we must understand why when Esther said it, Yavai HaMelech V'Homon HaYoim, Yudke Vavke is in the beginning of the words, and in the proper order. However, when Haman says, Ze einenu shoiveli, yudke vavke, is at the end of the words and in an inverted order. And the Chida explains that when the name yudke vavke is written at the beginning of the word in the proper order, then it represents the midas harachmonis, the midah of mercy of Hashem. However, when it is written at the end of the word in an inverted order, then it represents the midas hadin, the midah of judgment and severity. Therefore, Esther, who was seeking to invoke Hashem's mercy, mentioned Hashem's name Yudke Vavke in the beginning of her words, in the proper order, when she said, Yavoi HaMelech VeHaman HaYoin. However, Haman, who was seeking to arouse the anger and the severity of Hashem, alluded to Hashem's name in the final letters of his words, and not in the proper order, when he said, Ze Einenu Shoiveli. Finally, at the end of the Megillah in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, when Haman realized Ki Kolsa Elav Hara'a, that the evil was fully determined against him. Over there, the last letters of the words Ki Kolsa Elav Hara'a is Yudke Vavke. Over there, it is written at the end of the word, however, in the proper order, hinting to both the Midas Hadin and the Midas Harachmanis. By the fact that it is written in the proper order, that hints to the Midas Harachmanis, that Hashem had Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. However, since it is written at the end of the word, that represents the Midas Hadin, against Haman, who was destroyed at that point in the Megillah. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Hey, Vayomer HaMelech, and the king said, Maharu es Haman, rush to bring Haman, La'asoy says Devar Esther, to do the word of Esther. Vayovoy HaMelech v'Haman, and the king and Haman came, El HaMishteh, to the banquet, Asher Osso Esther, that Esther made. Vayomer HaMelech la'Esther b'Mishteh Hayayin, and the king said to Esther, during the wine feast, what is your request? And it shall be given to you. And what is your wish? Up to half of the kingdom, and it shall be done. And the Vilna Gaon explains what the difference is between She'ela and Bakosha. He explains She'ela implies a personal request, and Bakosha implies that which one asks on behalf of others. Therefore, Achashverosh said, Ma She'ela Seich. What is your personal request? V'yinosein loch, and that will be given to you. However, by bakosha seich, a request for others, it does not say v'yinosein loch, but rather v'se'os, it shall be done. Pasuk Zayin, Vatan Esther v'toymar, and Esther answered and said, She'elosi u'bakosha si, my request and my wish, imotzosi chen be'eni ha'melech, if I find favor in the eyes of the king, v'im al ha'melech toiv, and if it is pleasing to the king, loses es she'elosi, to grant my request, v'lases es bakoshosi, and to fulfill my wish. Yovoi ha'melech v'homon, let the king and Haman come, el ha'mishteh, to a second party, asher e'es Elohim, that I will make for them. U'mochor e'es ekidvar ha'melech, and tomorrow I will do like the word of the king. What does it mean, tomorrow I will do the word of the king? Zokrashi, ma shebikashto mimeni kol hayomim. I will tell you what you requested from me all these days, legalis lecha, to reveal to you, es ami, my nationality, ves miladati, and my lineage. So if you come to the party tomorrow, then I will tell you where I come from. Esther decided not to tell Achashverosh her fears at the first party, because she did not see any sign from Shamayim concerning her success. However, during the night between the first and second party, she learned through Ruach HaKodesh that Haman's downfall had already begun. That is, the Megillah says further, that on that night, Achashverosh was unable to sleep, and his servants read to him from the royal chronicles, and they read that Mordechai saved the life of the king. Just then, Haman walked in to ask permission to hang Mordechai. Before Haman could make his request, the king ordered him to give great honor to Mordechai by parading Mordechai through the streets on the king's horse, wearing the king's clothing. Haman even had to shout, Kocho yeyos le'ish asher ha'melech chafet bikaroi. This is what is done to a man who the king wants to honor. Through Ruach HaKodesh, Esther knew all of this, and she therefore had the confidence to move forward by the second Mishteh Yayin. Pasuk Tes, Vayetze Haman b'yom ahu, and Haman went out on that day, Sameach, happy, v'toiv lev, with a glad heart. As Manos HaLevi explains, Sameach, happy at the special honor he received, v'toiv lev, with a glad heart, that he dined so well. Al-Shuch says, that Haman was so blinded by his invitation with the queen that it didn't even dawn upon him that maybe the invitation was in connection to his decree against the Jews. Hashem caused him to be tzomeach v'toiv lev in order to catch him by surprise. However, v'chirois Haman es Mordechai b'shar ha-melech, when Haman saw Mordechai at the king's gate, v'loi kom, and he did not stand up, v'loi zoh mimenu, and he did not even budge before him, v'yimolei Haman a-Mordechai chemo, and Haman filled up with anger against Mordechai. V'yisapak Haman, and Haman restrained himself not to take revenge without the king's permission. Vayovei el beisoy, and he came to his house. Vayishlach, and he sent. Vayovei es oyhavov, and he summoned his friends, Vezeresh ishtoy, and Zeresh his wife. Zok Rashi posuk yud vayis apak. Nischazek, Haman strengthened himself. Lamoid al kasoy, to control his anger. Ki hayoyorei lehinokeim b'loi rishos, because he was afraid to take revenge without the king's permission. Vayisaper lohem Haman, and Haman related to them, eskevayt ostroy, the glory of his wealth, Viroiv Bonov and his many sons, Ve'ez Kol Asher Gidloi HaMelech, and all the ways that the king promoted him, Ve'ez Asher Nisoi, and how he elevated him, Al Hasorim Ve'avdei HaMelech, over the nobles and the king's servants. Vayomer Haman, and Haman said, Af Loi Hevia Esther HaMalka Im HaMelech El HaMishtah Asher Ososo Ki Im Oisi. Esther the queen did not invite anybody to the banquet, together with the king, except for me. And also tomorrow, I am invited to come to the banquet together with the king. Haman said that he had a few ideas of his own how to get rid of Mordechai. First of all, kivayt ashroi, the glory of his wealth. He had sufficient financial means. Roiv banav, he had many sons who were capable of helping him. Nisoy al hasarim, he was promoted, and he had the power to kill anyone he wishes. And lastly, even the queen herself would not save Mordechai, because it was I alone who she invited to the banquet. However, eventually Haman was proven wrong in all these areas. His wealth was given to Mordechai. Roiv Banov, his sons, were hung. That the king promoted him, it was the king who humbled him before Mordechai by making him lead Mordechai through the streets. And Esther, who invited him, she was the one who will expose him as her enemy. So all the ways that he thought that he would be able to destroy Mordechai actually worked against him. The pasuk says that Haman spoke about Roiv Banov, the large amount of sons that he had. How many sons did Haman actually have? And there is a machlokes in the Gemara, where Rav said that he had 30 sons. 10 died, 10 were hung, and 10 were so poor that they had to go around knocking on doors to beg for food. The Rabbanon say that Haman had a total of 90 sons. 10 died, 10 were hung, and 70 knocked on the door for food. Rami Bar Choma says, Haman's sons totaled 208, which is equal to the gematria of the word viroiv in the pasuk viroiv banov. Viroiv begematria 208. And Haman continued to say, V'chol ze einenu shoyveli, and still all this is worthless to me. B'chol eis asher ani royes Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar ha-melech. Whenever I see Mordechai the Yehudi sitting at the king's gate. Zok Rashi einenu shoyveli, eini chosh l'chol ha-kovar asherli. I do not care for all the honor that I have. B'chol eis, because whenever I see Mordechai, Zok Rashi, Amru Rabbi Seinu, our Chachamim say Masech de Megillah, Shehoyamara lo ishtar, that Mordechai would show Haman the deed, Shemachar atzmoy le'eved, that Haman sold himself as a slave to Mordechai, al choysim mezoinois, when he lacked food. And when did this happen? Kishenismanu roshe geisais Mordechai v'Haman, when Mordechai and Haman were appointed as generals, b'melchama achas, during one war. As Yalkut Shemoni explains, Achashverosh was once at war with another country, and he selected two armies and placed one under the command of Mordechai and the other under the command of Haman. He gave each army a supply of food, which was supposed to last the duration of the war. However, Haman mismanaged his food and quickly ran out of food. So he ran to Mordechai and begged Mordechai to give him food for his troops. Mordechai agreed to give him food on the condition that Haman became his slave. And this is what Haman said, "Everything is worthless to me when I see Mordechai, who constantly reminds me that I am his slave." And furthermore, since Masha kona eved kona rabbi, whatever a slave owns belongs to his master, all my wealth belongs to Mordechai, and I am worthless. Haman said, V'chol zeh einenu shoveli. All this is worthless to me. This seems to imply that he was pointing at something and saying, this is worthless to me. The Gemara explains, Shekol genozov shel oisei rasha chakukin aliboy. All the treasures of Haman were engraved on his heart. According to the simple meaning of the Gemara, this means that he had a record of all his treasures engraved on his heart. And he said, this that is written here is all worthless to me when Mordechai is around. Sefer Talalei Oris explains that Haman converted his entire fortune into expensive jewels which he would wear wherever he went. And Haman pointed at these jewels and said, V'chol zeh, all this is worthless to me when I see Mordechai. And now we can understand what it says in Mo'ez Sur, which we sing on Chanukah, which contains the praises to Hashem for the miracles of Chanukah and Purim. And referring to Haman, the song says, Roiv Bonov, his many sons, Vikinyonov, and his possessions, Alo Eitz Talisa, you hung on the gallows. Usually, the possessions of a man are not hung on the gallows together with him. However, Haman, who had all his possessions around his neck, was hung together with his possessions, Vikinyonov Alo Eitz Talisa. And the pasuk continues, Vatomer loy Zeresh ishtoi v'chol oyhavov. And Zeresh, Haman's wife, and all of Haman's friends said to him, Yasu eitz, let them make a gallows, Govoya chamishim amo, 50 amas tall. Uva boiker, and in the morning, Emor lamelech, speak to the king. V'yisluas Mordechai olav, and have them hang Mordechai on this gallows. Uvoy im amelech el amishte, and then you will accompany the king to the banquet. Sameach, in good spirits. Vayitav adover lefne Haman, and the suggestion pleased Haman, vayaas ho'eitz, and he made the gallows. And the Medrash tells us that Haman had 365 advisors, but none of them could give advice as well as Zeresh. What great wisdom was there in Zeresh's advice to make a gallows? And the Medrash explains that Zeresh said to Haman that the only way to destroy Mordechai and his nation is to come up with a plan to destroy this nation in a way that they were never saved from this punishment before. Because if you want to throw Mordechai into a fiery furnace, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah already have been saved from a fiery furnace. If you want to place him in a lion's den, Daniel escaped from the lion's den. If you want to throw him into a prison, Yosef escaped from the prison. If you make him sit on hot irons, Menashe escaped from this. If you want to place him in the Midbar, the Yidden were saved from being in the Midbar for 40 years. And if you plan on gouging out his eyes, Shimshon HaGibar killed many Pelishtim, even though he was blind. So therefore, my suggestion to you is, hang him on the gallows, because we never found any one of his people who were saved from being hung on the gallows. And Alshach points out that their advice to Haman was, Ya'asu Eitz, let other people make the gallows. However, the pasuk ends off, Vaya'asu Eitz, and Haman himself made the gallows. The Alshach explains that Zeresh and Haman's friends told him that they must get rid of Mordechai. However, it would be below Haman's dignity to be personally involved in the whole process. Therefore, Ya'asu Eitz, let others make the gallows. V'yislu es Mordechai olav, and let others, the executioners, hang Mordechai on it. However, our Chachamim tell us, Shehasino mikalkeles es hashura. Hatred disrupts the correct order of things, and people deviate from the norm when acting out of hatred. Therefore, Haman, who hated Mordechai with a passion, did not want to wait for any workers, but immediately, Vaya'as ho'eitz, he personally made the gallows. And why was it necessary for the gallows to be so high? So according to the simple pshat, Zeresh and Haman's friends told him to make it very high for the sake of publicizing that this would be the fate for anyone who rebelled against him. Medrash Shmuel explains that Hashem put it in their hearts to set the height at 50 amos, because by the means of this exact height, it was possible to hang Haman and his 10 sons simultaneously. As Targum Sheni explains in Perek Tes, Ois Yudalit, the exact calculations, how Haman and his 10 sons fit on the 50 amah gallows. And in Medrash Abba Gurion, it is brought down that Haman searched for a 50 amah beam, but could not find one. So his son Parshandasa
who was the governor of the Mount Ararat area, supplied him with a beam from the remains of Noach's Teva, which was 50 amos wide. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz points out in Sefer Yaris Devash that Zeresh wanted to stop Mordechai from having a chance to say Kriyashma Bekavona with concentration. And that is why she said, Uva Boiker, make sure to get to Mordechai early in the morning and hang him then, before he has a chance to say Kriyashma. Because when Klal Yisrael says Kriyashma with complete Kavona, Esav does not have any power over Yaakov. And also, according to the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Tes Amud Beis, if a Jew says Shema with Kavona, and then davens Shmone Esrei Kivasikin, immediately as the sun rises, he will not be harmed for the whole day. Zeresh said, Uva Boiker, make sure to do this in the morning, before Mordechai has a chance to be Mekayim these mitzvahs. And Avnei Nezer points out that Zeresh did not advise Haman to ask the king or make a request from the king to hang Mordechai, but rather it says in the Pasuk, Emor la Melech, speak to the king, V'yislu, to have Mordechai hung. It seems that Haman did not have to ask permission. He was able to do it on his own. And in fact, the Medrash Yalkut Shemoni says that Achashverosh had a throne built for Haman and placed it at a higher level than his own throne, showing that Haman had even more power than Achashverosh. And similarly, the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph, when Mordechai cried, a tzaaka gedoyla umara, a loud and bitter cry, the Gemara says that Mordechai cried that Haman is now more powerful than Achashverosh. That is why the Pasuk says, Emor la Melech, because Haman did not need to ask permission. Rather, he went to tell the king what he planned to do to Mordechai. And obviously, this pshat is not going according to the Rashi we mentioned in Pasuk Yud, Divrei HaMaschil Vayis'apak, where it says, Ki yorei lehinokem b'lo rishus, that Haman was afraid to take revenge without asking permission first. Unless you learn pshat in Rashi is that rishus does not mean he needed permission, but rather Rishus means that he had to notify the king. Ki hayoyori lihinokim b'lo Rishus, he was afraid to take revenge without notifying the king first. However, even according to Rashi, Haman had the power to do what he wanted.